Harper Audio presents Labyrinths by Katrine Clay, read by Karen Cass.
Chapter 1. A Visit to Vienna. On Saturday, the 2nd of March, 1907, Karl and Emma Jung arrived in Vienna for a five-day visit. They stayed at the Grand, the city's most fashionable hotel, just a few minutes' walk from the opera and the famous Ringstrasse. Accompanying them was Ludwig Binswanger, an assistant at the Burghölzli Lunatic Asylum in Zurich, where Karl Jung worked as a doctor and first assistant to the director Eugen Bleuler. At 10 the next morning, the threesome waited to be collected by Sigmund Freud, who had invited them to Sunday luncheon at his family home, a short walk away at 19 Bergasse. None had met the Herr Professor before, though Jung and Freud had been corresponding for over a year. Emma Jung was 24. Attractive, her wavy brown hair pinned up under a large hat, and very wealthy. But although her outfit was expensive, with its long skirts and furs against the March cold, it was not showy, because Emma herself was not showy. Karl was strikingly good-looking in a Teutonic sort of way. Light brown hair, small moustache, dark eyes behind gold-rimmed spectacles, over 6 foot tall and powerfully built, with an imposing presence. A brilliant and ambitious young man just beginning to make his mark on the new and as yet not very scientific field of psychoanalysis, of which Professor Freud, 20 years his senior, was already the acknowledged master. Anyone observing Emma and Karl Jung seated on the plush velvet canapé in the elegant foyer of the Grand Hotel, with its chandeliers, ornate galleries, steam-powered elevator and liveried footmen and porters, would have seen a couple perfectly fitted to their surroundings. Rich, handsome, young, and, by all appearances, happy. But appearances can be deceptive. Sometime before the Jungs left their hometown of Zurich for Vienna, Emma had considered delivering her husband an ultimatum. Either change his ways, or she would divorce him. A shocking and rare thing at the beginning of the 20th century, and one utterly alien to the retiring character of Emma Jung. She felt lost in the labyrinth of her marriage to Karl, beset with problems. Life could not go on the way it was. By 1907, the Jungs had been married for 4 years and had two young daughters, Agatha, aged 3, and Gretli, almost 2, who were being cared for back in Zurich by the children's maid, helped by Karl's mother and his unmarried sister, Trudy. 4 years might not be long, but it was long enough for Emma to discover the extent and complexity of her situation, though not long enough to know what to do about it. The problem was twofold. Karl's outward manner, so confident he could come across as arrogant, concealed a very different and infinitely more complicated interior, one which constantly eluded Emma, however hard she tried to understand it. The second problem was no easier to solve. Karl was always flirting with other women, and they with him, provoking in Emma emotions she had never even known she possessed. Storms of jealousy and fury, followed by terrible feelings of self-doubt and recrimination. On top of all this, Karl was extremely ambitious, working day and night at the asylum like a man possessed, driven by a conviction that he had a special understanding of the insane, because, in many ways, he was so like them. One way or another, it left almost no time for family life. Emma would spend hour upon hour in the Jung's apartment on the second floor of the Burghölzli Asylum, waiting for her husband to return. There were further complicating factors. Emma came from a well-known family of wealthy industrialists, the Rauschenbachs of Schaffhausen, making her one of the richest heiresses in Switzerland. Karl, on the other hand, was the son of a poor pastor of the Swiss Protestant Reformed Church. In fact, he was in debt when he first met Emma to the tune of 3,000 Swiss francs, which, at a time when a working man might earn 30 francs a week, was a very large sum indeed. It was a humiliation for Karl, this poverty, because the Jung family was respected in his hometown of Basel, and most of them were not poor at all. But his father, for reasons best known to himself, chose to work in remote parishes which barely offered a living. So they were the poor relations, and Carl.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?